Hello, and welcome to the My VA Dayton podcast, where we dive deep into the stories and experiences for those who have served our country and explore the importance of ensuring veterans receive the care and benefits they deserve. I'm your host, Gregory Tucker, with My VA Dayton. Today, our guest is Mr. Robert Kinsis. He's a recognized alumni of Sinclair Community College. Robert has also received the Philo T. Farnsworth Award for a documentary in the area of arts cultural awareness. The documentary is the University of Dayton, the Haley Sustainability Institute. Robert produced the documentary at the Miami Valley Communications Council. It explores the integration of science, arts, and academic disciplines to create sustainable principles for our region. And most of all, Robert is a United States Marine Corps veteran. Hoorah! Robert, thank you for your service, and thank you for appearing today on My VA Dayton to share your story. Now, before we go any further, I did a overview of who you are, part of the introduction. Robert, tell us about yourself.
Well, first and foremost, Gregory, thank you for this opportunity to share with our veteran community. And I welcome this introduction that you so graciously have given me. I am a native Daytonian. I was born here in Dayton, Ohio, at Good Sam Hospital. And later, my father, who wanted to return to a farm, bought a small farm in Preble County, where I grew up. I attended Twin Valley South High School and graduated with honors from high school. And it was during my time that I decided I needed to go to college. So I began part of my education at what was called the Ohio State Miami campus, which later became Wright State University here in Dayton. I was paying my way through, and I worked as a chemical technician at a welding organization where I did titrations on welding fluxes. It was during that time that I received a draft inquiry from my local draft board asking me and inviting me for a physical. So I went to Cincinnati. There were 33 of us who went on a bus from Preble County. When we got back, we found out who passed, who didn't. I was one of three out of the 33 that passed.
Oh, wow.
And the others either were teachers or had been farmers or were married, which were pretty much off as far as being eligible for the draft. They sent me another little letter asking, was I going to return to college? And I still did not have enough money to do so. So I was honest. And within 30 days, I got my draft notice.
Oh, okay.
And I sort of panicked. This was during the Vietnam time frame. And I felt the Army was going to send me to Vietnam almost immediately without any sort of qualifications to survive, is what I was thinking. And rapidly I contacted the Air Force, believing that my ROTC education in a short period at Miami University would provide me some in to get into the Air Force. No, they said they couldn't do it.
Okay.
And so I dropped my head. I went next door to the Marine recruiting, which was in downtown Dayton, and proceeded to listen to the Marines as far as enlistment periods. They had 2, 3, 4, and 6 as far as options.
Oh, okay.
I took a 3-year active duty, 3-year ready reserve enlistment.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm a Hollywood Marine.
Camp Pendleton.
I was at San Diego for basic.
Okay.
Later to go to Camp Pendleton for advanced infantry training. And I, for whatever reason, stood out. My DI identified me as a person to pick on, perhaps, or to bring me into the forefront, saying if this private can make it, there's no excuse for the rest of the company. So no pressure whatsoever.
No pressure.
And I was very fortunate. 7 weeks into our basic training, we're given our MOSs, military occupational specialties. And I was assigned a 4071. My DI was livid because he wanted me to be an infantryman. And based on my physical stature, a tunnel rat for Vietnam. When he saw that as to my assignment, he used a little raw language in describing, like, what in the blank, blank is that?
That's colorful metaphors in order to congratulate you.
Yes.
It's form of great congratulation.
And my head was full of thoughts. And I said, well, it's not an 0311. It's not a grunt. It's not a tunnel rat. It's not a rifleman basic. So I said, I quickly wrote my mother, who did find out. She went to the local recruiter, and I was placed in computers. I was an analyst, security database, and I was tickled pink.
So you were pretty much on the forefront when computers were in their infant stage right there.
Their early use in a broad way across the military services. And the particular computers I was trained on, IBM 360s, third generation equipment, and the computers filled rooms. They were very large.
Now, Robert, did you have any other family members who had served?
My father had served during World War II. He was first generation American. He too was born here in Dayton, Ohio. He grew up on the west end of our city here in a Hungarian community. And he saw action, and he was in England, France, Germany, and Belgium. And he had been drafted in the 101st Airborne. He served in the 82nd Airborne, and his final assignment was with the 33rd Photo Reconnaissance. They're the organization that fly in before battles, take pictures, and then fly in again after bombing raids were made.
So after seeing his career in pictures, as far as from his service, was that one of the things that influenced you to choose the Marines over the Army? Or as you had mentioned, that they didn't guarantee far as, okay, what job you were going to be doing. It was going to be kind of like a roll of the dice.
Well, I certainly there was inspiration with my father's service to serve after I had completed college. I felt I had an obligation back to the nation for what I was provided through all who had served before me. I chose the Marines because it was perhaps the last choice in avoiding the draft. Now, people may say, are you crazy? It was my thinking in preparation for combat that the Marines were at the top level of preparing civilians for warfare.
And you did the 3 and 3?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, we're going to take a break, a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to discuss with Robert what career choices or moves that he did after leaving service.
Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. Every day, hundreds of people just like you volunteer to help our veterans. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make our veterans know how much we appreciate their service. What will you do?
The Dayton VA changed my life. There was a time I was jobless and homeless, didn't know where to turn for help. I felt like there was no hope for me. Then I learned about the Dayton VA. They helped me find the help I needed to get back on track. I received support, got a job, found a place to live. I got my life back.
Don't wait another day to see how the VA may help you.
I'm a vet, and it's my VA. Make it your VA today.
To enroll, call 937-268-6511, extension 5336, or visit dayton.va.gov.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Veterans service organizations, often known as VSOs, offer many services for veterans and their families. To learn more, go to va.gov.
And we're back with Marine Corps veteran Robert Kinesis. Robert, before we went to break, you had told us about your experience and your family service to this great nation of ours. Now, Robert, after performing your invited service, there's 3 years active and 3 years reserve. After leaving the Marines, what did you pursue?
Well, I was, again, very fortunate to be trained in computers, which at that time there was indeed a need in our society. So I chose to go back to school so I could obtain at least a associate's degree, and then, if possible, a bachelor's later. And I wanted to really work full-time and go to school part-time. And I was able to do that. I took a job in private industry with Kohler and Trumbull, which was a real estate tax accounting firm. They created systems to help the county governments process their monies that were collected for property taxes, and also issue the tax bills that were sent to the property owners. And I was a programmer analyst who helped develop that system. And then I would go out and meet with county officials here in the state of Ohio, educating them on the system and how to use it. The particular company I was working with, we also had contracts to do the vote counts during elections, both in primary and the national elections. And those counties were Butler County and Allen County. So we were deployed on those particular days in which the votes were cast, and then we would help count those votes. It was a great experience, and I felt, once again, contributing to the governance of our state and our national elections.
And that's something, it seems to be a common theme when we are speaking with veterans, and that is once they leave the service, take off the uniform, service does not stop there. They tend to continue to look for other ways of serving the nation, their communities, and other veterans. Now, one thing that I didn't ask you in our previous segment, and that was, did you deploy overseas?
I was I was given orders to deploy a particular computer system that was developed for the entire Marine Corps. And there were 16 of us who developed this system, and it was called the Manpower Management System, which tracked all the Marines at that particular time during the Vietnam conflict. And so I traveled in country here in the United States, and then I went overseas to Okinawa to be the liaison, the overseer of the entire manpower management system for all the Western Pacific. That included Vietnam, Okinawa, and Hawaii.
Okay. How long did you spend in Okinawa, or affectionately known as The Rock?
Well, again, since my assignment was sort of like a what they called temporary additional duty, I was there for 90 days and in contact via different sources of Mars station sort of operation between Da Nang and Okinawa, and the same with Hawaii. Now, I would be deployed to those locations should there be a very serious situation, because I was the Lone Ranger to sort of correct any such problems.
If I could go on to connect that your experience, your military experience, helped you in your civilian life, or your as analysis.
It certainly did, Gregory, and it formed the foundation for additional training, which of course enhanced my skill set for other assignments. And after I had worked with private industry for about 3 years, an opportunity came up to work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and I became a computer analyst in the materials laboratory, which is one of four laboratories there on Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. In fact, the materials laboratory is the first laboratory to be part of the Air Force structure.
Okay. See, I did not know that right there.
Yeah. Its history, it began in 1917. And since materials make up quite a bit of the aircraft, it would be a natural, so to speak, to conduct research on different materials. And that also included the fluids and lubricants and other aspects of an aircraft.
And Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is known for its innovations, how it's a major contributor to our military power, but also a lot of the research or the accomplishments also have benefited the civilian sector as well. Now, Robert, you have had an amazing career. Now, I'm going to ask you, how did you segue into the arts, the media arts? How did that come about?
Well, thank you for the question, Gregory. I have a broad interest in many aspects of life. And the interest in photography was one that I had acquired through my father, because when he served in the military, his last assignment was with the 33rd Photo Reconnaissance. He was not only a crew chief for P-38s that were the aircraft used for taking their reconnaissance photos, but he had also delved into actual photography before he was in the military. Whether it's coincidence, fate, good decision making, I go sometimes with my interest, and it's been very useful in some of the career activities and projects I've had. Give it up for God or blessings, or let yourself sort of be open and a receiver. I cannot really say that I'm a great decision maker.
Robert, with that, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss a film that you are helping to promote. We also want to talk about your experiences with the Dayton VA.
I was in the military. I didn't know that when I left, I was eligible for health care through the VA. I thought you had to be disabled or been wounded. Another vet told me I should check it out. Now, I have the care I need at the Dayton VA.
Don't wait another day to see how the VA may help you.
I'm a vet, and it's my VA. Make it your VA today.
Call 937-268-6511, extension 2159 to enroll, or visit dayton.va.gov.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you're having a tough time or thinking about suicide, you're not alone, and there's hope. VA's Veterans Crisis Line has responders who listen and help. Many are veterans or have veteran family members and friends, so they're prepared to address your challenges. Don't wait. Dial 988, then press 1.
Welcome back. We have with us today United States Marine Corps veteran Robert Kintzis. Robert, before we went to break, you were telling us how you made the transition for us towards the yards, how you became involved. There's a film that's out. If you could just give us a little short synopsis of the film that's out right now, that you're assisting for us with the producers in getting the word out.
Well, the particular film that Gregory is being so generous with and my association was produced by veterans of the Iraq and Afghan wars. I believe very much so, since I served during the Vietnam conflict, many of the stories that our veterans wanted to speak about were not permitted to be heard in the public square. I was able to see this particular film, What We Want You to Know, back late in 2023. I felt it was a seriously produced, well-produced film that not only would it benefit our veteran community, I believe very much that it would benefit their healing, and it would speak to our civilian population. I'm a person who believes in community. I believe in deep communications, deep listening. Too often in our skill set, we have not developed that, which is deep listening. I believe when we do so, we are paying tribute to the person who is speaking. So I thank Sinclair Community College. I had reached out to their Department of Veterans, and they were so gracious. They reviewed the film, and then they announced that they would have this event this past March 27, 2024. It is my hope that this film can be seen by many more in our community, and that we can indeed recognize the sacrifice, the work that these men and women who serve us in today's force doesn't have a draft. These are all volunteer, and that is even going beyond facing a draft situation. So I'm deeply honored to have been successful in bringing this to our community. And those who did see it and witness, thank me. The thanks really need to be extended to those brave men and women who volunteered to serve in our armed forces.
Well, thank you, Robert Forrest, for doing all that you do. Now, Robert, one of the threads that were in the film, and that's a story of healing. And when we speak of healing, we're here at the Dayton VA Medical Center. You are enrolled at the Dayton VA Medical Center. How did you come about enrolling?
Well, first and foremost, because of my experience in the military during the time frame in which I served, I was kept out of harm's way. And so I had no physical injuries. I did serve on several funeral details. And so there was a psychological part of me that became aware. And but it wasn't until the COVID event, because I had thought, and this was perhaps misthinking on my part, that the VA itself could provide little to my health, since I had been wounded and I felt mentally okay and whatever. When COVID happened, I turned and said, gee, I'm a veteran and they're giving shots at the VA. So I did start that process of enrolling. What I also started years before that was volunteering here. And it was a combination of having that introduction as a volunteer, sitting and sharing conversation with veterans, that I began to see and witness the services that were provided. And the feedback that I received from my fellow veterans was very positive. And so I made it part of my journey to ask veterans, did they enroll? So I became more of a messenger for the services. I, again, enrolled during the COVID event. And I, of course, as both a volunteer and an enrollee, get options as far as flu shots and other access. Again, Gregory, you hit things so well when you spoke about the continuing service. I think it's the greatest healing is connecting with our fellow veterans, to sit and listen, to give them tribute, as I like to call it, and honor with deep listening. That is my personal experience in this part of my journey.
And that is, you bring up something that we try to, as part of our outreach efforts when we're speaking with veterans. A lot of times they feel that I don't qualify for using the VA because I was not injured in a conflict or I did not serve in combat. That is not the case. And there's something that we're sharing with veterans, and that's information about the PACT Act. To those who may not be aware of the PACT Act or who are aware of the PACT Act but are not sure, how is it different from what was rolled out last year? Well, let's go ahead and start out with the purpose. And that is, context is, the VA wants to bring as many veterans as possible into our care because VA has proven to be the best, most affordable health care in America for veterans. And that's why on March the 5th, the VA made three new groups of veterans eligible for VA health care years earlier than what was called for in the PACT Act. And the first one is veterans who were exposed to toxins or other hazards during military service. The second would be veterans who were assigned to certain duty stations in Southwest Asia or parts of Africa. And the third is veterans who were deployed in support of certain operations after 9/11. Now, here's what that means for veterans. If you served in Vietnam, the Gulf War, Iraq, or Afghanistan, you can still enroll. If you deploy to any combat zone after 9/11, you can enroll. If you deployed in support of the Global War on Terror, you can enroll. And even if you never deployed but were exposed to toxins or hazards while training or serving in active duty here at home, by working with chemicals, pesticides, lead, asbestos, certain paints, nuclear weapons, x-rays, and more, you can enroll too. Bottom line, all veterans exposed to toxins and other hazards at home or abroad are eligible to enroll in VA care, and that began on March the 5th. Now, this is the biggest expansion of VA care in generations, and we just want you to apply as soon as possible. Now, again, it's quick and easy to enroll. You don't need to be sick or file a claim to become eligible. All you have to do is show that you served in one of those locations or operations, or you participated in one of the activities that could have exposed you to toxins or hazards. Even if you don't think you need the care today, we always tell people, even if you don't think you need the care today, you might need it tomorrow or the next day or 30 years from now. All you have to do is enroll. Then you have access for life. Again, all you have to do is enroll. Then you have access for life. So don't miss the opportunity. Affordable health care is waiting for you. And this is where you need to go. First step is go to va.gov/PACT and get it. That is va.gov/PACT and get it. I promise we'll do everything in our power to serve you as well as you have served us.
I would add to that as far as my testimonial through my associated with other veterans, they have certainly been benefited and started on the healing path in their circumstances. And please investigate, read, and if you have questions, call our local Dayton VA. They certainly can route you to people who have the knowledge and can answer your questions. They're a great service. And even consider volunteering here very much.
Oh, thank you for adding that in there, Robert. That number is 937-268-6511. Again, that number is 937-268-6511. We'll be leaving some more contact information in our show notes. I want to thank you, Robert Farris, for your time and sharing your stories. And for those of you who are in the Dayton catchment area, we want to hear your stories too.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. If you were exposed to toxic substances while serving in the military, a new law called the PACT Act may make you eligible for additional benefits and care. The PACT Act benefits veterans of the Vietnam era, Gulf War era, and post-9/11 era who were exposed to toxic fumes, burn pits, Agent Orange, radiation, and other environmental hazards. Survivors of toxic exposed veterans and veterans who served in specific countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Southwest Asia are also potentially eligible. Learn more about the PACT Act by going to va.gov/pact or by calling 1-800-MY-VA-411. We at VA are here for you, and we're ready to get you the care and benefits you've earned and deserve. I'm Mike Richman.
As we come to the end of the program, I want to extend a heartfelt call to action to all veterans listening. Your service to our country has earned you not only our eternal gratitude, but also a range of benefits and support through organizations like the Dayton VA Medical Center. If you're a veteran who hasn't enrolled yet in VA healthcare or explored your earned benefits, I urge you to take that step today. Your health and well-being are paramount, and the VA is here to provide the care and support you deserve. Reach out to the Dayton VA Medical Center to learn more about the benefits available to you and to enroll in the healthcare services that are rightfully yours. Don't hesitate to take advantage of the resources and assistance available to you as a veteran. Thank you for your service, and remember, you're not alone. The VA is here for you. I'm Greg Tucker. Thank you for listening.